Welcome to the Next Brave Thing podcast. My name is Ella Hooper, and I believe that breakthrough is on the other side of bravery. This podcast features brave stories, emotional health, and creativity to inspire you to take your next brave step. Today on the podcast, I am going to talk about a quote that I think about often, and maybe I talk about it a little bit with clients or with friends. And I felt like this quote was kind of fitting with my episode on surrender a couple of weeks ago that I did. And the quote is this, and I found it on Pinterest, like most of us girls do. And the quote is this, and it is, "What is yours will find you." And like any good quote, I think they need to be wrestled around, tried on for size, thought through, discover the tensions inside the quote. Because I can imagine if from face value, the quote of "what is yours will find you" can feel a little woo-woo, a little new agey, a little manifesty. But I don't think it is that. I think that it just is a quote that provokes some thought. And so I want to dive into how I've kind of thought through this quote. And I'm going to talk through some of the blocks around why we don't attract what we want in our life. I'm also going to talk about what it means to actually let go of control, but that beautiful tension that a lot of us find ourselves. It's not this, I'm just going to sit back and wait for something to find me, and like that passive approach. I also want to talk about like chasing something versus attracting something. And so I'm going to dig into those kind of topics in today's episode and dive into my connection with it with surrender. And I first want to say, because I think there can be this idea with the quote, "What is yours will find you," there can be this kind of sit back and whatever you attract into, you're going to attract it into your life. It's just going to come to you. And there have been seasons in my life where things have just shown up for me miraculously, just come to me without me even trying. And then I've had friends or whatever contending for years, hoping for this breakthrough, and it just naturally just happens to me. And it can feel kind of unfair. But I've also been on the reverse of really wanting something, desiring something, and it to be happening to all my friends. So it's this interesting tension of how do we partner with this idea, you know? And I also think there's also like, you know, the law of attraction philosophy. And I really do believe in what you sow, you reap. And so a lot of us are actually stuck in cycles where we think the thing that's finding us is often chaos or destruction and pain. But I really do believe that when we align with our true identity, what is good for us will find us too. So, but I also want to be tender, because this idea of like how we attract things into our life, I believe that we co-create with God. So what's happening in our life, we are a participant. It is happening to us, and we don't have to be a victim in situations. But I also want to be really, really sensitive and delicate in this idea of we're attracting things into our life, because I remember years and years ago, I had a friend go through something really traumatic, and it was with a guy, and it was just really awful. And her mom said to her, "Well, you attracted that. That's your responsibility." And it was kind of like a pretty brutal thing to say to someone going through trauma. And so there's also this side to this conversation that I think needs to be handled with care, because I don't think abuse is you attracted that and there's something in you. I think that sometimes we're born into pretty awful things. And then there's also societal things. And I don't believe racism is something that you just attract into your life. Like, that's like not okay. So I feel like I just want to have that disclaimer out there that, you know, when we have trauma and these painful things, like I genuinely think there are real victims out there. And so I never want anything that I say around this topic to come from a place of minimizing someone's pain, or because the biggest thing when someone goes through trauma, the biggest lie that they can internalize is it's all my fault. And so I don't want people to kind of take that away from what I'm saying today. But I do have to say that part of my healing on the other side of everything has been me noticing the dynamics relationally, the things in my life financially, or the opportunities in my life, like how am I a participant in what's being attracted and drawn into my life? So I'll start by talking about blocks. What's in the way of us attracting the things that are good for us to us? And I think some of the blocks, a lot of it can be subconscious, like subconscious beliefs that that are holding us back, like whether it's like limiting beliefs, core beliefs that come from wounding from our childhood, where we make up a subconscious story about our identity. And that's where we need to bring healing in. To those places and an awareness around. Like you could be a workaholic, like, you know, speaking of Pinterest and where I find all my wonderful quotes, there's often quotes around like, you work hard, you'll attract success. Well, the thing is, I know so many workaholics that are not living successful lives. They're thinking, if I just work more hours or if I just work harder, then I will attract a lot of money. And that can be true to some level, but this is where it gets like, it's almost like people have unfair favor on their life where they barely work and then they just attract all this money. And a lot of it is from a subconscious belief that they're worthy of finances, that they're worthy of promotion and making headway in their career. And, you know, there's a lot of places where we feel like there's pain and wounding around like opportunities. And so until we actually get the healing in the places where we really identify the lies that we've been believing about ourselves on a subconscious level and go on a journey of repairing that and healing that, that narrative, that subconscious narrative, then we're going to be able to start actually believing with our whole bodies that we're worthy of opportunities or we're worthy of finances. So I think some of it, that's an example of like a subconscious block. And I think another thing, what a block that's been in my life and a lot of people's lives is people pleasing. So anytime that I am trying to fit in or exiting my true self or kind of being like taken advantage of in the sense of like, I have no boundaries and I let people just kind of take advantage of me. That is like what self-abandonment is. And I had a hard come to Jesus moment, like in the last 5 years where I really started learning what codependence was and, what codependence was, what people pleasing was. I think before, like before maybe COVID, I don't think I heard a lot of terminology around or like descriptions of what people pleasing is or what codependence is. And I think a huge thing for me, someone just asked me like, what is the big narcissistic energy in your life? And so a lot of us are feeling really depleted and maybe it's not one narcissist in your life. Maybe it's actually like this energy that's around you where you're kind of participating in this dynamic where you're always the savior or you're always helping people, but it's from an orphan place. Like it's not from this wholeness place of serving others. It's from this, it's much easier for me to focus my attention on other people than really like connect to myself and not sort of like violate my own boundaries to take care of other people all the time. And so I think that that was a huge lesson that I learned that, oh, when I'm participating in this dynamic of people pleasing and codependence, I'm actually blocking good things coming to me because I'm saying, you know what, Ella, you're not worthy of a sound mind. You're not worthy of peace. You need to go find yourself in these drama dynamics all the time. And so it wasn't till I powerfully kind of looked at like this quote of like, what is yours will find you. And I actually assess like, well, what is finding me right now? Oh my gosh, a lot of drama, like, you know, and then I kind of was able to see like, oh, this same dynamic where I play this same over-responsible role, I've been doing that since I was a little kid. And so part of me was like learning like this whole new way of existing in the world where I didn't have to people please and I could still be kind. And I think that was like with people pleasing, and maybe I'll, if you guys want, I'll dig into all my learnings and findings on people pleasing. But really digging into like, how do you actually be kind and generous with people without going into that fawn people pleasing response? And what I realize is like, people want authentic people. Like, you know, we're drawn to authenticity so much. And I think when we're operating in people pleasing, we're not actually being ourselves. We're not being authentic. And it's not like I would have thought I was a fake person at all. This is just very learned behavior since I was a little girl, like learning to be make people happy and want, you know, if other people weren't okay, that meant I wasn't okay. And so like, I have so much compassion on myself for learning that dynamic. But then I realized like, oh, there's a way that I can get so much more of my energy back where I can learn to have healthy boundaries. And even like I notice like my burnout and I'd find a lack of energy and I just want to be alone, or I wouldn't, like I was around people all the time and I'd just be exhausted. And that like depletion was like a loss of my light, of my sparkle. And actually, I'm kind of having a flashback to a memory, even with my dad, when I was like in university at drama school and just feeling so exhausted because I was working so many jobs and school was so intense. And I remember my dad kind of reminding me of who I am, of like, don't lose your sparkle. And I think a lot of us are losing our sparkle because a lot of our energy is going to people that it's not even that they don't deserve it. It's just that we haven't accurately shown people who we are. We've kind of like not, you know, boundaries can sound kind of harsh, but I'm just talking more about like, we've not really given people clarity about who we are. And so I think that brings me to my next point, is actually getting clear on who you are and who you're not. And for me to do that, I actually had to go through a season of, if it's like, I would always kind of see like, you know, if an opportunity presented itself, I was always good at seeing all the different angles. I never had like a strong sense of self of this is a hard no and this is a hard yes. And so I actually had to do this exercise where if I, because I was like dealing so much with tensions of like, should I do this, not do this? And so I actually gave myself this homework to, if it's a full body yes, it's a yes. If it's a full body no, it's a no. If it's a maybe, it's actually going to be a no. And I remember like, and I think I was taking on interns at that time. And normally I would be like, see, because I see potential in everyone. Like that is like probably one of my gifts. Like I just see the gold in humans. That's kind of how I'm wired. But I never kind of think through, is this person actually the right fit for my team? And so I remember like practicing that exercise, like when I took on these interns, I was like, I'm not going to choose anyone unless it's a whole body yes. And it was really hard because a lot of the people who were applying to be my intern were great people, but it wasn't until I kind of came across two people that were like resounding yeses. And it was a game changer for me because it was my first, like, kind of, it was my first experiment of actually trying out this theory of like, my body actually knows when it's a yes and when it's a no. And I have to trust that when I say no, the right thing will come along. And so I ended up saying, you know, yes to these two people, and they were the best gifts for me in that season. And everyone around me would be like, oh my gosh, we love your interns, you know? And I mean, I've had amazing interns. If you're my intern and you are listening to this, you're all amazing. But I think there was something significant on that year because I was just really intentional. And I had a lot more clarity about like what I was looking for. Anyway, that's a whole tangent on being a leader that I could go into. But anyway, so I think that was like a huge lesson for me because I had to let go of like, you know, not being so unclear with myself. And then it's not fair to other people because they're getting more of an ambivalent version of you rather than you being really clear about who you are and who you're not. So that's a huge thing in unblocking that I've discovered in sort of attracting the right thing will find you. And I notice this a lot in like businesses. Like we usually get like a shiny object that comes into our life, like this cool opportunity that might be the thing. Or if you're hiring someone, it's like, oh, this person is really awesome. But then we often miss our gut, like we ignore our gut and we kind of go, well, urgency says and scarcity says that we need to hire this person or we need to take on this opportunity or this job because something else might not come along. But part of this journey of learning that good things will come to me because there's a plan for my life and I can trust myself and I can learn to trust God that the right thing will find me. And often like the journey of decision making is learning how to grow that muscle in us. And so then it's like, you know, we hear the expression, oh, they have great instincts, or how do we grow great instincts? Like it's through these moments where you're in a decision making moment where you get to kind of experiment with, am I going to say yes to this or am I going to say no to that? And because I believe our no's are really powerful and our yeses are really powerful, like, and because they kind of lead us to the direction of that kind of momentum and attracting great things in our life. My next point is, I guess, like getting clear about like who we are, having vision for what we want and don't want, kind of sends messages out to the world of like what we do want to attract because we're getting a lot clearer. I think when we're clear with ourselves, then people are going to be clear towards us. And so this kind of leads to my next point of the tension of like sitting back and surrendering to the process, trusting that a job's going to come along, the right partner's going to come along, friendships are going to come along versus like going after it. Because I do believe that action is the most magnetic thing. Like when you start taking action, good things start happening. But there's a difference between like that anxious action from more of like that if you were looking at your fight, flight, fawn, freeze responses. Like I know for me, I can go into the flight response, which is a lot of OCD looping and like fixing, like, how do I solve this lack in my life? How do I solve it? Rather than getting like clear about what I do want and what I don't want in this area of my life. And then sort of like waiting for the clues to know, like, or the divine strategy to like get me there. But I first have to kind of even, there's sort of this passive approach, like if it's meant to happen, it'll just happen. And sometimes that actually is us avoiding vulnerability, because I think that to ask and desire something is a vulnerable thing. And it requires us to feel worthy of receiving that thing. And so if we have some blocks around our worth or triggers around that, that's where we want to show a lot of tenderness and compassion. But it's actually this beautiful thing to desire something and want something. I said that in my previous episode on surrender. And so having the audacity to ask for something or desire something is a really beautiful thing. But often we can be met with disappointment or discouragement or unsure of, like, am I supposed to try and make this happen and control it, or do I let it go? And this is something that I'm learning so much about with the nervous system, is usually when we're in pain, whether we feel the disappointment of a relationship not working out, or we feel the delayed areas in our life where we don't have our needs met or desires fulfilled. I think often we can be, it's important to look at the state of your mind when you're putting an action plan list together. I know traditionally for me in the past, like if I have a pain point in my life, I go into like fix it mode, like book in with my therapist, do a course, like fix my life. Like I can get very fix it mode. But that also reinforces the thing in you that feels unworthy, of like, I need to fix myself in order to be good enough for this thing. But I really do believe that we are worthy now, not if or when or but our worthiness is actually so intact, but it's actually our perception of our worthiness that needs to shift. And so when we get regulated, like I've talked about in previous episodes, like when we actually get clear, calm, in a grounded state, we can actually have the openness to hear from God, to get the clues or the pings of like, what steps should I take to participate and co-create something in this area of my life? But if I'm constantly in putting out fires mode and dysregulated, I'm never going to really get to a wise solution in this area. And so I think that, like, in order, coming back to the quote of what is yours will find you, I believe the yours is a completely calm, regulated. That's who you are at your core when you're regulated. And because it's almost like all the noise inside you has settled down and we can actually see the real you. And so when we practice, like we build practices in our life to live from that place, we can really start kind of seeing momentum in these areas where we see lack in our life, whether that's friendships, relationship, like romantic relationships, finances, work opportunities. It's really powerful to center yourself on the truth of who you are. And then it's almost like the answers just kind of come. And I love this kind of analogy of almost like when you're so regulated and you're really connected to yourself, it's like God turns on a faucet and all these ideas start flooding you, and you have ideas of what you could do to co-create in that space. And so when I think of that tension of like, am I striving for something or am I trusting in something? You know, like where sometimes like it is actually really powerful to just rest and actually do absolutely nothing, go play, have fun. And that can be a sign of like reinforcing to your subconscious that you're worthy of good things. But then in other times, it's like learning how to grow an area in your life where maybe whether it's even a skill. So, you know, in finances, like if we have this idea of like, oh yeah, it's just going to come to me and it'll come to me. And I do believe there is this kind of flow with finances where it can like just come to you, you know. But we also have to partner with learning the skill set of managing money and go on that journey. But if we go learn that skill set, and it's the same with dating, we all need to learn the skill set, like and relationships, whether you're married or not, like we're going to have to grow in a skill, but we just want to do that growing and that learning from a compassionate place rather than a, I'm just trying to fix myself place. And I'll close with sharing this story, and it's kind of like proof of concept to this thing of like, what is yours will find you. And when I first moved to America, I was in my first year of the School of Ministry, and I came back to Australia, and a lot of people were asking like, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to be doing? And I was really frustrated because I didn't know. All I knew was I was supposed to go back and do my second year of the school. And so it was really hard because we do live in a society where, and I do this as well, we ask like, what do you do for a living? And I was still figuring that out. And I had a background, obviously training to be an actress, went to drama school, and then I had some real estate business experience and sales and that sort of thing. And so I think a part of me was like, I don't think I'm going to be necessarily doing that. But I was kind of like, I have no idea what I am going to be doing. And one of my really good friends, she said, well, you can't tell people what you're going to be doing because the role isn't created yet. And it was such a statement of faith. Like it actually helped me anchor into something's working behind the scenes and something is going to come to me. And I can trust that I can only see two steps ahead, but I can trust that I'm on the right course because it's the most in alignment with myself, my true self, and what I feel called to do. And so I kind of like had that assurance. And then that same friend, I think, said to me, like, you're going to be paid to be Ella Hooper. And I was like, okay, I'll take that on. And that sounds wonderful. I don't know what that means, but okay. And so I just kind of like rested in that word that my friend, that word of encouragement that my friend gave me, that your job's not being created yet. So there must be something working behind the scenes for my good. And also, you're probably going to be paid to be Ella Hooper. And so I was like, that's awesome. And then I think it was like 2 years past, still no real clarity around like seeing the full picture of like what I was going to be doing next. And then I met my friends who I helped start the university with. They were like, we're going to start a university. And I was like, I've actually been to drama school and I also have a sales background and I can help with the marketing of the school. And so it was this kind of crazy thing because it showed me that nothing in your life is wasted, that everything works together for good. And all my jobs and experiences that felt a little random all went into really me taking on this role and helping build this university. And it's crazy because my friend was right. The role wasn't created yet. And then it's really interesting because a lot of people wanted to get, I was in my third year of the school, and doing an internship. And a lot of people in their third year were wanting to be hired on at this school or wanted to get a visa to stay longer in the States. And I've always just had a deep knowing that I was supposed to be in the United States. And there was no me trying to make America happen. There was no me trying to push open doors to try and get hired somewhere. It literally just came to me. It was really the epitome of what is mine will find me. And it really did. And it's just like beautiful to look back on that moment because now I'm in a different season where life is very different. But I have this history and this experience where all of my life tends to be circular and things come back around. and nothing is wasted. And so it gives me even more confidence to step into whatever the next season is in my life, and it's still unfolding. But I can kind of look at whatever is happening because opportunities come my way, or options. Like, I'm in a season right now where, oh, that could be good. That could be an option. And I'm looking at it, but I'm also like having to double down on like getting clear about who I am and who I am again in this season, so that I can be ready for when the right opportunity presents itself, so that I'm actually ready for it and I know it when I see it. Because sometimes we miss opportunities because we're not really clear about what our yes is and what our no is. Anyway, so I hope today has felt enlightening and hopefully hopeful. If you are in a season where you are wanting to get clear about who you are and what you're not. And I think we need to come back to this kind of conversation quite a lot in our life in different seasons, like whether we're getting a promotion or we're stepping into new responsibility or becoming a parent or getting married. Like, we have these seasons in our life that kind of pull on us to kind of reassess and re-engage with this identity question again. And so if you find yourself in that position, feel free to book in a free discovery call, a coaching call, because coaching is such a great place to clarify this question in your life. So anyway, it's been so fun chatting to you today. Feel free to write in for podcast topics you want me to talk about or guests you want me to have on. But you guys have a wonderful week.
Thanks for listening today. Please download, share with your friends, and write a review. If you would like to book in a life coaching session with me, go to my website at www.ella-hooper.com or follow me on Instagram at Next Brave Thing Podcast.